And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Hello, I'm Sasha Kaplan. I suffer, so you don't have to.
Get on with it.
I mean, that's pretty much kind of the title of this episode of our review of Loki. It's sort of just like, get on with it, because it felt like half of it, actually most of it felt very much like a filler episode, because it didn't really advance the plot in any way. The only thing it really did is, I guess, give us a little bit more context into Sylvie, who is actually one of the aliases of one of the enchantresses, if I remember correctly, in the Marvel, because I think there's two. So yeah, let's get on with it. So the variant is out on a date with, wait a minute, is that the agent that she kidnapped?
Yes.
Something isn't right here. And it turns out she's actually using her magic mojo, her powers, to influence the agent in order to get the location of where the timekeepers are. She is successful in getting that information. We find her, there's some, I guess, fancy schmancy gold elevators that she has to go to. She couldn't just like get the plans for the TVA from her head. Oh, well, I guess they explain later that like some people's minds are like harder to like get into than others or something. So she goes to the TVA, walks through the agents pretty easily, disintegrates some of them. And then MCU Loki goes after her. What am I supposed to call? I guess the real Loki, the Loki we know and tolerate, goes after her with his daggers, because he gets them from his locker, or from the locker they were stored in. And so she gets to the gold door, but there's kind of like a little Loki on Loki scuffle, and then they fall through the little device, and they end up in a very soon to be destroyed mining planet. Like literally it's about to be crushed by another planet. In the world, in the year 2077. But there's another little conundrum, I guess you could say. Their little time travel device is out of juice and they need something powerful to recharge it. And so there's all this sort of back and forth between Sylvie and she says you can call her Sylvie, which makes me think that that might be an alias. And yeah, the entire time it's basically them arguing and them trying to get off the planet and failing. And then like at one point they get on a ship.
A train.
Whatever, that apparently you have to buy tickets from. Like you're evacuating a planet, but people still need to buy tickets for a train? Like, it sounds like they want you to die. And so her and Loki tells her about Frigga and how she taught Loki magic. We learned that Loki is in fact bisexual. Then Loki does some Asgardian singing. He does the like another thing that, which is a nice callback to the first Thor movie. And then people keep looking at them funny. Then they get literally thrown off the train.
Well, no, correction. Loki got thrown off the train. Sylvie jumped out of the train.
Right. Which makes me wonder why. Because, like, she didn't want him there in the first place. She could have just let him die.
Well, I mean, think of it like this. In a way, if by being him getting thrown off and he also has the device, she kind of needs him. So it's like, and not only that, but like now she, and not only that, but the other factor is she's by herself now, which means she will eventually herself get thrown off the train.
Anyway, so their time travel device gets crushed because Loki fell off the train, gets tossed out of the train, and they decide that there's like a ship that like they're going to change the course of history and they're going to steal the ship and escape. And basically just caused another like variance in the timeline. So the one thing I will praise is that as they begin to run through the city into the towards the ship, this is all done via tracking shot, and it's a really, really cool bit of cinematography. But the ship gets destroyed, and that's where the episode ends. And that is, I think, the quickest run through of an episode I've ever done, because
I mean, the nice thing about the episode is that you learn a little bit more about the variant who goes by Sylvie. You learn a bit more about Loki. So you gain a little bit of that. I actually do like the interactions between the two characters. It's a nice...
There's some quality banter.
Yeah, there's some quality banter. And not only that, but it feels like just a merry couple in a way. Like they're just bickering at each other.
I guess the one thing that they did sort of remind to those that don't read comics is the fact that Loki does tend to have relationships between men, with men and with women. I'm sure he also has had a relationship between men and women. So that was a nice bit. And it was fun to see Tom Hiddleston sing in
Asgardian,
whatever that was. Because it was funny, although I'm pretty sure his Nordic accent needs a little work. But it was funny. But my question is, why is all of this necessary? Because, like, we didn't really need them getting tossed out of the train, unless the fact that they don't make it on the train has plot significance. Or I guess the fact that they don't get off the planet has some other plot significance that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, let's also look at another thing in perspective. If Loki didn't fight Sylvie at the TVA, that would have been a really easy run for the TVA.
Okay, so then this is just a plot device to keep them from getting to the TVA. So this episode actually does establish one very important thing.
And that is?
The TVA employees are variants.
Yeah, that's true, because they were evacuated pretty easily.
Right, but also because this goes against the TVA propaganda that says all of this was created by the timekeepers, which is might be true in a technical sense, but the worker bees were all variants that were probably like mind wiped or something. But
kind of like a little feel from like Tron in a way.
Do you say so?
Have you ever watched Tron?
No.
You should watch thing. You should watch Tron.
I've seen bits and pieces. That's not my thing. But here's the thing though. Each episode this episode feels a little bit more like an outlier, because the first episode, at the end of the episode, Loki realizes, oh crap, this is real. Second episode, oh hey, here's what the variant actually looks like. This episode did also have a revelation, but it didn't really come from anything, like, it didn't come from an action so much. It was more of like Sylvie decided to share a piece of information. And I gotta say, I'm kind of meh about the show so far. Like, the mythos is cool, but I'm not quite enjoying the ride like I did with WandaVision or Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I will admit the first two episodes were good, but this kind of derailed its momentum. Like, this.
I agree. And, like, don't get me wrong, the tracking shot that they did at the end of the episode was amazing, but it sort of felt like the entire episode was set up so they could do this really cool tracking shot.
I also enjoyed the song that they used after the ship got destroyed. It was a nice song. I don't know what the name of the song is or anything like that, but if you go back and watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about, because they played it into the end credits scene where they always do like the special stuff for the credits. So
it also, so the other thing is that we only have what,
three episodes left.
So this is kind of, it doesn't feel like a halfway point. It just sort of feels like a filler, which is kind of a problem when you're only dealing with six episodes. Like, comparatively to Falcon and Winter Soldier, each episode had a specific purpose, right? each episode felt like it was leading into the next thing, even if we didn't know 100% what that thing was, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit, I mean, maybe we'll get an explanation. I guess we'll have to wait till Wednesday, obviously, until the next episode to figure out where this is all going. But I don't know. I'm just kind of...
Like, I definitely love the first two episodes, but like this one just felt, like I said, it just kind of slowed the momentum.
It did. I wonder if part of the issue is actually the setting. Because if like when Loki and Mobius were in Pompeii, that was hilarious, right? Because it's a location we know about, right?
Yeah.
Here it's a post-apocalyptic event that we have zero connection to.
And not only that, but like in a way, like, you know, in the last episode when they're at the Rec Star, you know, even though that's also in the future.
I thought that was a Rocks cart.
Or whatever. Rocks cart, whatever.
It was Roxxon, Marvel's big bad evil corporation.
but anyways, but the thing is though, is that like even though that was set in the future by like actually technically in a way 30 years for us, we could still kind of relate to that one because we know what it's like to have hurricanes and tropical storms and these type of weather scenarios here. So like in a way, the last episode, we could relate to that, even though that was in the future.
Right. And you can also like Roxxon or Roxcart, whatever. The Roxxon Corporation is pretty famous in the comics. It was also, I believe, in Agent Carter at one point, or in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one of the two, probably both.
I never saw either, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think it was in one. I dropped Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like a hot potato, but my point being is, like, it's a location that, like, you think you understand. And the idea that it's, like, a Walmart, that it's basically the equivalent of, like, a Walmart, right? Like, there's something relatable about it. If it was, like, I think part of the problem is, like, I had no idea what this location was or why I was supposed to care about it. And you could have done something where you could have established a little bit of like what this location is for us in the sense that like, oh, this is a Kree planet, right? Or the Kree are about to destroy this planet. Cause then we get sort of like okay, the Kree from Captain Marvel. And I get that not everything has to tie into each other, but like it just felt random and sort of pointless.
Yeah.
Like, okay, random apocalypse. Sure. It like, I don't know. Like, even as far as post-apocalyptic events go, apocalyptic events, I don't know. There's more interesting ones from the comics that you could have used. Like, imagine if they showed up to Thanos' homeworld before it got destroyed or whatever. By, like, I don't know, a natural disaster or whatever. Was Thanos' planet destroyed? It just sort of consumed. Or you could have, well, okay, maybe asking for Galactus to appear was a little much. But, like, there was a couple of different things I think you could have done. Hell, you could have even, I guess you couldn't have. I was going to say you could have said, oh, this is the Skrull homeworld and it's about to be attacked and destroyed by the Kree. But I think that would be too much of, why am I on a Captain Marvel lore kick here? I just need Monica Rambeau back. That is what that culminates in. Monica.
Is there something you need to tell us?
Yes. Monica Rambeau is the only Captain Marvel I need after Mar-Vell. The real Mar-Vell, not the Fem-Vell. Sorry, I'm sorry. But yeah, my point is there's no emotional connection for us in any way because this is not a location we know. This is not a location we really get an understanding for because it's a mining colony, but it's also like a city, but this mining colony also has obnoxious rich people. Like, when was it? There was a show. I cannot remember what it was. It was one of those like sci-fi shows, maybe the Orville or something, where there is like a mining colony, right? And you can tell it's a mining colony.
That's Firefly. No.
There's a couple of, I know there's Firefly, but this episode was, I think, part of the Orville or maybe some Star Trek. because they go to this colony and they have to, like, there's it's a very clear mining colony that is being abused by, like, some other people. And, like, there's an establishment that there is a city of people somewhere, and this is a scavenger planet or whatever, and then you have this mining colony. Right? So the first part of the episode made sense, but then the rest of it sort of didn't. Like, who are these people? Why isn't that one lady leaving when she's about to die? Right? There's a city, but nobody's being evacuated. Like, what the? And I understand that that's not the point of the episode. The focus is on Loki and Sylvie and this, them getting out, but they don't even get out at the end of the episode. So I don't know, like, it just, it felt sort of empty to me. Like, I didn't know why I was supposed to care ultimately.
Yeah,
it's sort of hard to connect to this episode. But Sylvie, we do get a sense of Sylvie's personality, and she's very rigid, very, very, like, I don't have to tell you, I don't trust you. I was really bummed she didn't really share any details about her or who she is. Hopefully that will come later. And she also still has not revealed what her ultimate plan is for the timekeepers, because she was so desperate to get their location. But to what end? To what purpose? The purpose, I'm guessing, it will lead to the multiverse, which will tie into like 50 bajillion other things.
Yeah. Just to put this in perspective real quick, Glorious Purpose, which was the title of the first episode, was an 8.9 out of 10. The variant is a 9.1 out of 10. Lamentous, which is this episode that we're talking about, 8.0 out of 10.
So wow, that's a huge, that's an entire point difference between the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, there's still cool things in this episode, but, like, if I were watching this episode by itself, which we do watch them by themselves because they're weekly, it just, it left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. It was a filler episode, which is just weird to say for a 6-episode season.
Yep. Like, you know, if you told me, like, you can't look at an episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier and tell me there's a filler episode, because everything everything ties into each other and everything is connected and everything is important, then it feels like no time is being wasted. Right? With WandaVision, you had an episode that switched perspectives, but it wasn't just for the sake of switching perspectives. It was to get us away from Westview for a moment. It was to establish what is going on outside of Westview, which will connect to the plot of the rest of the series. So, yeah, this episode left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, it really did. And that's really disappointing in a way, but...
Which, granted, like, it's not like I had high hope, like, I had any specific expectations for this show, because I'm not a Loki fan. And I did come into this with an open mind, but so far, overall, the show was like a B for me.
You know what the problem is with this episode is, Sasha?
What?
Not enough Owen Wilson this episode.
I mean,
I'm going to pull a Ben here. There, just like how Ben needs his Adam Park in Power Rangers, we need our Owen.
The second season of Voices from the Grid for details and context.
Whenever that airs. But then you have, Mobius. It's like, there wasn't enough Mobius in this episode, because there was no Mobius. Because I love the Owen Wilson, Tom Hiddleston, back and forth banter. They're so good together.
So I think this episode would have been helped by two things. One, less of this planet. And two, just a little bit of context for Sylvie. And I don't know, this episode felt like they just, like, weren't utilizing the space they had. And by space, I mean, like, you have a 6-episode show, right? So you really have to figure out, like, what is for episode 1, what is episode 2, what is episode 3. So, you know, maybe at the end this will tie in, but for an episode that is supposed to be the halfway point of the show, it feels sort of like a cutoff point as opposed to a halfway point, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Aside from Loki, though, there is one other thing we need to talk about.
I'm Batman? What?
The Shang-Chi trailer that dropped yesterday.
Haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God!
Okay, so something to keep in mind. The last 3 days of work has literally been... Well, it's literally been dealing with the executives at work. So, like, I don't have time. I haven't had time the last 3 days, and I'm just tired. I'll watch it this weekend.
Okay, so, like, mute and, like, take off your headphones for 5 minutes while I rant about this, because this is a really cool... If you don't want spoilers. So there's... First of all, this movie is going to be incredible. I am so psyched. The fight choreography still looks amazing. We get an inside look at the 10 rings. The literal 10 rings, not just a flag that has 10 rings on it. We also get to see a surprise character at the end of the episode, which seems to, the consensus seems to be that this is Abomination. So for those that haven't seen the trailer, there's this like caged fight between Shang-Chi and Abomination. Now, we know that rumors suggest that Abomination will appear in the She-Hulk show. So this is so that implies and hints at the idea that the show will, or the movie will tie into the show, or the show will tie into the movie. I'm guessing the movie will tie into the show, since Shang-Chi will be released before She-Hulk. But you never know with Marvel moving things around. I'm so excited. We did get a look at the Mandarin, and there is a dragon. And I know everybody's like, oh my God, it's Fing Fang Foom. And part of me kind of hopes, because there's nothing cooler than a dragon wearing boxer shorts. But there are I think there are other possibilities within the Marvel Universe. So it could be an Order of the Dragon kind of a situation, as opposed to Fing Fang Foom, especially if the Mandarin is the central bad guy. Also throwing in Fing Fang Foom seems a little weird, but there could be other things at play. You never know, because that is Marvel. They keep us guessing. And we've learned with WandaVision not to over-theorize, because it will come back to bite us and only set us up for disappointments. So, yes, please, September 3rd, go watch Shang-Chi, because we need this movie to succeed, and we need martial arts movies need love.
And as somebody who has a bunch of martial arts movies in the Blu-ray case behind me, I love my Donnie Yen movies.
Yeah, so I'm just excited for all of the amazing fight choreography, because I'm a sucker for good fight choreography, and it looks like this is gonna be good.
All right.
So with that, Mike, where can the people find you on that pesky social media?
You can find me in hell. Twitter at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show's specific /nerdy-notions.
Is Twitter really hell? Because sometimes I feel like Tumblr is the real hell. No, you're right. It's Twitter. Twitter is hell. I guess Twitter is like the worst layer of hell, and Tumblr is like the outer layer of hell. But for me, you can find me on that other hell site at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Geeky Kaplan with a K on Instagram. That's Twitter. Geeky Kaplan with a K on Instagram. Kaplan after the greatest superhero in the entire Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. If you have not checked out the movies The Old Guard or read Marvel's Pride, do that before you follow, because otherwise you're just going to be spoiled by lots of things. And finally, on my website, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, where I occasionally share very long and ranty comic book reviews. Let me know if you'd like me to review something. So with that... Join us next week as we hopefully get some answers to whatever shenanigans are happening in this ridiculous show called Loki.
I think they did.